Lives of the companions, Lives of the companions, الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Recite after me الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, we once again welcome you in our program Lives of the Companions. In this program, we talk about Seerah of Sahaba Kiram Alayhim Ridwan. And inshallah, today we'll be talking about Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala and inshallah Azza wa Jal. Before we proceed towards our topic of the day, let's make a few good intentions. As my Shaykh Tariqat Amir of Ahl Sunnah, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Hafizahullah, has given us a beautiful mindset. We should make good intentions before we perform any permissible task or any good deed. As I'm presenting this program, I make this intention, I will present this for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can make this intention, you will be with us from start to end, you'll remember what you learn, act upon, and pass this knowledge on to others too. We've got our brother Waseem Abbas Attari with us, let's go towards him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
MashaAllah, Waseem Abbas, how are you?
Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal.
Respected viewers of Madani Channel, as we just initially earlier mentioned, today we'll be talking about the topic is Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. When it comes to talk about knowledge, deen of Islam, ilmi deen, subhanAllah, there are certain names which come in our mind. When we talk about in specific the branch of knowledge in the hadith, and subhanAllah, the name of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala stands out because he is amongst those Sahaba kiram, those they have reported the most numbers of hadith, subhanAllah. He is amongst them. So the reason is because he had the privilege and opportunity to remain the blessed court and the company of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the most, and that's the reason he narrated most number of ahadith. Now, what was his sharaf, what was his passion, his love, his devotion to learn and seek knowledge of the Islam? Would you please shed some light on this?
MashaAllah, there's one way. When we talk about the passion that Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu had for acquiring knowledge, we see that he sacrificed everything of his to quench his thirst of knowledge. And he remained in the company of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He was amongst the Ashabu Sufa Sahaba. And he had a great disinterest towards this world. And the passion that he showed towards acquiring the knowledge of the Islam from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and then staying in the company of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So, from many perspectives, again, when we look at the personality of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he acquired the knowledge of Islam firsthand from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And when we look at the students of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, we find that there are many, many Sahaba, let alone anyone else, Sahaba who are the most superior amongst the Ummah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So those Sahaba, we see, they are amongst the students of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who narrate hadith from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. And this was that yearning, that passion that he had, not only to acquire knowledge, but also to impart this knowledge ahead, which again has a very big importance in Islam, where we are to not only acquire knowledge, but also impart it ahead. So when we're talking about his acquiring of knowledge and what great memory he possessed, that's also something that we need to understand, and how greatly he was blessed from the court of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in relation to his memory as well. So it is stated that once Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu goes in the court of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he mentions about his memory, saying that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I forget the hadith that you mentioned, I forget it. Now the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he instructed Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu to spread his shawl on the ground. And then after Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he did that, then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentioned a few hadith. And after that, he alayhi salatu wasalam instructed Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu to hold that shawl to his chest. Now, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, he obliges, he does as he's instructed to do. And after this, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, he says that once I took the shawl and put it next to my chest, he says that after this, my memory became so strong that whatever I heard from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, I never forgot it.
Subhanallah.
Again, this is one of the miracles of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and also his love towards Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, that how he blessed Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu from the powers that Allah granted him. And from the other side as well, we come to know the beliefs of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, that he has a problem with his memory, which he goes with in the court of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, because he knows that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has been bestowed by Allah Almighty to remove this problem, to bless me, to bestow upon me. So he tells
this was the aqidah of Sahaba Ikram.
This was the aqidah and the likes of Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu. He goes there and he asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he blessed him. And this was the miracle of the shawl.
Any need they had, they used to
indeed
go to the court of Rasul.
Indeed. So Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he instructed Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu regarding spreading the shawl, which he does exactly as he's told. And then after that, he places upon his chest. And there you go, his memory is one of the strongest memories. And thereafter, he says that whatever I heard from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, I never forgot that.
And he had this privilege that the most number of ahadith he has
Allah
narrated indeed from Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, the number is 5,374 ahadith of Mubarakah.
SubhanAllah.
And Wasim al-Masbah, it is also mentioned that in terms of the expanded students of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala,
SubhanAllah,
that 28 Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan, they are known in the they are the students of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala.
SubhanAllah.
And not only that, there are many tabi'een. Sahabi Rasul is that person who has the privilege to have the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his lifetime, and then he passed away on Iman, right? He's called Sahabi. And Tabi'i is that person, that individual who had the privilege and honor to have the blessed company of his Sahabi, and then in the state of Iman, and he passed away with Iman. So there are many Tabi'in,
SubhanAllah,
who, SubhanAllah, were amongst the students of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala, and also. And according to Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, that Mu'azzis Sahaba Ikram and Tabi'in, if we total the number, is 800, more than 800
exceeds
Sahaba.
800.
Exceeds, Allahu Akbar.
Sahaba and Tabi'in.
Tabi'in. They were amongst the students of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala, and those they narrated from Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala. So this was the scholarly status.
SubhanAllah.
This was the his brilliance in terms of seeking knowledge and preserving knowledge and then distributing knowledge. All these categories, SubhanAllah, you can see in the Zaat of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala. And SubhanAllah, what can you talk about the barakah of the dua of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
We will touch upon that, Rizwanvi, but as you touched upon the students of Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, talking about the number of sahaba, how many they were, and then tabi'in. Now, the greatness of a teacher is also judged through the greatness of the students.
Indeed.
The type of students they would be, you would imagine how great the teacher would be. You know, Sahaba Ikram Ali Muridwan, they are the best of the awliya amongst the ummah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was their teacher. Now imagine Sahaba themselves being students, themselves narrating hadith from Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu. Now those Sahaba themselves are also crowns of our heads. Now imagine if this is the status of the students who are the crowns of our heads, what would be the status and majesty of the teacher himself, i.e. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu. And then you mentioned the total number of hadith that he mentioned, 5374. Mm-hmm. Now this was the number of hadith that he mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the number of hadith that he knew. These were the number of hadith that he narrated.
Yeah.
Besides this number, the amount of hadith that he knew, only Allah knows and the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam knows how much he knew. This was only that number that he imparted ahead.
Allah.
Now, which other hadith there were? We find several narrations where he mentions about narrating only these many ahadith, but the number that he did not narrate, those hadith are far more greater than the number that he narrated.
Allah.
So this shows the greatness of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that how much knowledge he possessed, how much hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam he took from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And imagine if he narrated the most number of hadith, which is over 5,000, then imagine the number of hadith that he did not narrate, how many there would be in number, and what great knowledge he would possess, which he reflected in his seerah throughout his life.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, now it's the time to include our one segment in our program, inshallah, will include a segment, message from a scholar. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhums.
In discussions, people give examples of foreign countries, examples of non-Muslims. In those countries, you will find time management. Everything happens on its time. Their trains are on time. Even people are on time. Honestly, you cannot name any other religion than Islam, which emphasizes the most on time management. All our prayers are linked with time. You cannot even eat for a minute when the time of fasting has started, and you cannot break your fast even 1 minute before. Yes, throughout the world, iftar is done with the accuracy of minutes and seconds. Just look at the timetable of your masjid. Planes get late, trains get late, but whether it is sunshine or rain, any weather condition, you will find Adhan is on time, as well as congregational prayer on time. Look at this wonderful time management. Many other forms of worship are linked with time. When you go to Hajj, there is a time to enter in Arafat, as well as time to leave Arafat. Which day you have to reach Muzdalifah, Mina, your Rami, your Tawaf, everything is linked with a specific day and time. As much as Islam teaches about time management, no other religion of the world teaches. But it can be said, time management is there in Islam, but Muslims, they do not learn from that. There is no need to give examples of others when our own religion teaches us wonderful time management.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
Alhamdulillah, we were listening a beautiful message from a dubbed clip of Maulana Abdul Habib Attari, which was talking, where it was talked about the time management. And subhanAllah, what a beautiful examples they were quoted there, and how important time management is. But our Islam itself teaches us a lot regarding managing our time and utilizing time in the best manner possible. Alhamdulillah, examples from Salah, examples from Hajj, and each and everything is going according to a prescribed time. And this is the example of the nature, and in worship also, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept time management. And what a beautiful example, mashallah, we learned. So it's only the matter of us implementing it, right? Following the religion of Deen Islam, everything is there, alhamdulillah, for us to follow. Wasim Basmi, we were talking about Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, before going towards the segment. Now, when we talk about Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, and first we learned that there are certain miracles which are associated, mashallah, they've been narrated by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. Okay. We mentioned about getting the barakah and blessing in terms of memory, right? And subhanAllah. And this is also a great miracle.
Indeed.
Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam could have sent him towards a doctor, right, of that time, or maybe he could have said, okay, take this medicine, or maybe any herbs or something could have suggested, you can use this, okay, that will help you to strengthen your memory. But subhanAllah, the dua of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam, and then the strength of the memory, and he never forgot any hadith, mashallah. And we also have read another beautiful miracle of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam, which was witnessed by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala himself, which is regarding dry dates. Allah. Could you please mention that?
It's beautiful again, this one way. And through this miracle again, we come to know of the aqeedah, the belief of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. As in once, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, he goes in the court of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam with some dry dates and asks the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to make dua of blessings for it. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he made dua of blessings for the dry days for Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and instructed him to eat, but to place them in a pouch, right, and then eat from them himself and also feed it to others. Now, through the blessings of the dua of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, this pouch which had dry dates in it became so blessed that Abu Huraira radiallahu anh, he ate dates from it himself and fed to others as well for 25 years.
Allah.
And it didn't come to an end.
Subhan.
And the Prophet ﷺ had instructed him that eat from it and also feed others and make sure you don't empty it all at once. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anh, he kept eating from it, feeding other people from it for 25 years and it did not come to an end. It did not finish. Now, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anh, what eventually happened was that during the caliphate of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu anh, when Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anh, he was martyred. Now, in between all that commotion and tumult, unfortunately, the pouch that he had tied to his back, that was cut and that pouch was lost.
Allah.
And that's when he radiallahu anh, lost that pouch after 25 years when Uthman Ghani radiallahu anh, was martyred. So for 25 years, the blessings of the dua of the Prophet ﷺ was such that dry days would not come to an end and other people would also eat from it. And this was such a great grief and anguish for Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anh, as you can imagine, that how much he would have valued that very pouch which had the blessings of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, the blessings of the dua of the Prophet
ﷺ. A miracle every day.
It is when we'll be talking about, you know, certain individuals that when they come to know that this thing had an association with the Prophet ﷺ or with Ahlul Bayt or with Sahaba Ikram Ali Muridwan, then they become so affectionate towards it. But imagine the love that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu had for the Prophet ﷺ. Just imagine that. Now 25 years later, he still has the pouch.
Mm.
That shows how much reverence he had towards that pouch. And now when he loses it, imagine the grief that he would have experienced. And he, in a couplet, mentions himself that people have one woe whilst I have two.
Oh.
One on the account of losing my pouch, and the second is the martyrdom of Uthman Ghani radiallahu anh. So these, you know, this account we see in writing that he had this anguish, this grief over losing the pouch. But just imagine those sentiments that he would have experienced upon losing that pouch. That very pouch wasn't an ordinary pouch. The dry dates in there, they weren't ordinary dates. They were the blessings of the dua of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Imagine how beloved they would be to Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anh. And upon losing it, a true devotee like Abu Huraira radiallahu anh, What would he have felt? What would he have experienced? Just imagine that.
Allah, respected viewers of Madani Channel, another beautiful narration from Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, and we heard again another beautiful miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was not witnessed for a moment, which was not witnessed for a few minutes, which was not witnessed for a few hours, which was not witnessed for a day or few days or few weeks or few months or few years, 25 years.
Over two decades.
Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala and witnessed the miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that would not finish. Allahu Ali. This was the love of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then he mentioned this and we see sabse aula wa ala hamara nabi sabse bala wa ala hamara nabi. Now it's time to include one segment in our program, and that segment is words of wisdom. Let's include that. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
Respective viewers, today, words of wisdom which we have got for you is the dhikr of Allah is indispensable to purifying the heart and enlightening the mind. So, if you would like that your heart, subhanallah, gets enlightened, and subhanallah, if you want that your heart becomes purified, do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible. Nasim Abbasbi, we've touched upon the scholarly status of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala and his memory, and then various other aspects of the life of Sayyidina Abu Huraira. One of the most important factor which we see is zuhud and taqwa. Subhanallah, love for ibadah, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to that extent he used to do, and how much salah, nawafil, subhanallah, he used to pray. And then we also learn about that he had a very, very simple lifestyle he lived.
Indeed.
And he did not enjoy the luxuries of life. Any example you would like to quote in this regard?
Subhanallah. You see, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anh, when we're talking about the simplicity that he possessed, we earlier spoke about how he left everything.
Before, he had a life of destitute.
Destitution. Yeah. And there would be many days that he wouldn't eat. This is how his days were
later
spent.
When he was the days of prosperity came. We're talking about
even
that.
Then he did not change his way of living.
Subhanallah.
You know, this is something, Rizwanbhai, amazing for us, which we need to learn from. You see, unfortunately, people change their ways. Yeah. They change their attitude.
Have different.
They change their attitude. They change many. A big change is seen in them. So, and most of the times, a negative change. Mm. But Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, subhanallah, who was a true ardent devotee of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who lived in accordance to the saying that this world is only a field for us to prepare for the afterlife, where he truly believed in this, and he left a legacy for us that this is how a life should be spent. So in his latter stage of life, when he had prosperity, even then there was no change in his way of life. In fact, there was only betterment that was seen.
Sure.
And from every perspective, when we look at his character, we see that he would remember the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Even after the apparent passing of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he would just think of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He would cry out of love for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And many things that he would witness, it would remind him of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. As once it is stated that thin pieces of bread were once presented to him. Right, thin pieces of bread. So he radiallahu anhu, he saw them and started to cry.
Allah.
Imagine this one, good food is in front of you, comes in front of you, you start to cry. You know, imagine this state. So he starts crying, and now someone amongst the people, they asked him the reason for this. And to which he replies that my beloved master, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, never saw this with his own eyes.
Allah.
Fine quality of food, thin pieces of bread. Now, even at this occasion, he's remembering the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would eat unrefined barley flour, and how he would suffice upon only few dried dates. Wow. You know, this is how the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was spent, despite having all access and authorities over everything. You know, and Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, as soon as fine food comes in front of him, he thinks of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. This is the peak of the love that one can have for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam.
In a similar narration, I would like to mention here that once Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, he passed by a group of people in front of whom there was a roasted sheep, right? And they invited him. But he refused to eat and said, Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and left this world without satisfying his hunger, even with barley bread.
Allah
Akbar. And it means that how can I eat that? This was his zuhud and taqwa. Although it was halali, if he wanted, he could eat. But this reminded him the subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time, and then Allah and he refused it.
This food was halal.
It was
permissible to consume.
Yeah, definitely.
Had he consumed it, it would have been lawful for him.
Definitely.
Again, look at his love, Rizwanbhai, for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that out of the love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he's crying upon seeing the nice and delicious food.
Allah.
That's why Sahaba Ikram alayhi ridwan, the likes of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, they are our masters, they are our leaders. Why? Because they led their life in the love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Just imagine our own state today. You see, fine food comes to us, you know, and there's nothing wrong in it. Yeah. Of course, we can't reach the level of the Sahaba and Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. The food is coming in front of him. Roasted goat is coming in front of him, you know. But yet, what happens? He thinks of his beloved. He thinks of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And what does he say? That he alayhi salatu wasalam never consumed this, or he alayhi salatu wasalam never ate his fill of barley bread. This is the apex of love that one can have for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam.
And this is also a lesson, respective of Madani Sharif, for us, that normally we claim that we are the lovers of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and every claim has a proof of being said, right? But unfortunately, when Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that the coolness of my eyes lies in salah.
Allah.
But how many of the Muslims, they are praying salah? Especially because we claim that we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We also claim to be the devotees of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But look at Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that even something which is halal, right, it can be consumed, but he did not do for the sake of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam's love. Allahu Akbar. And here, wajibat, faraid, they are being missed. And then Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam gave the hukum and ordered to keep beard, wasteful beard, right? And many, they do not follow this, right? And we are leaving the sunnahs of Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, but yet we claim that we are the devotees of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, this should not be the case. Okay, if we love Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, we should follow the teachings of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, the way of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. We should also offer salah 5 times, right? Fara'id, hajj is fard, we should go without any delay. Zakah is fard, we should pay zakah on time. And especially because if Ramadan comes, we should fast. We should not miss a single fast without any valid shari'i reason. Any fard, any wajib, any necessary act which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us see compulsory for us, we should not miss, and we should follow the sunnahs of Prophet sallallahu ta'ala. So this is what demands the true love of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, and this is what Sahaba ikram, likes of Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala, practically implemented in their own life, and they showed and showcased that how should a person live a life if he not just talking about the love of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, rather a person who is the true lover of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, practically from his lifestyle, from his character, subhanallah, that love reflects.
It wasn't only a verbal claim that they did. It was a practical example that they showed us.
Well, see, we must be now, let's include one segment in our program, respective of Madin Shell. Now it's the time to include a segment, Did You Know? Let's include that. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
Respectfully, we've got a few questions and answers, inshallah. This segment is to raise awareness, inshallah, to increase knowledge, and a little bit of the change from the topic. That's the idea of this segment. And we've got a few questions, inshallah. We'll ask from each other. We will learn. We all learn, inshallah. And you also try to guess if you know the answer. Ji, Wasim Abbasbi, the very first one for you. How is the chest which is empty of the Holy Quran? What do you say about that chest?
Allahu Akbar. In reply, I would mention a hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, where the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that one whose chest has nothing in it from Quran is like a deserted home.
Allah.
How serious this is for us, and something that we need to think about. Question for you, Rizwan bhai, what is the excellence of reciting the Holy Quran?
One who recites one letter of the Holy Quran will get 10 virtues, 10 good deeds.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. So if you just recite Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, it's one verse. Now you can count how many letters are there, and then you can count how many good deeds you will get.
Subhanallah.
I think it's for your turn. What is the ruling for the one who recites the Holy Quran with a stammer, meaning pauses and repeated sound due to a speech problem?
Subhanallah. Such a person will get double the reward.
Subhanallah.
So glad having put them, they will get double the reward. And for you, Rizwan bhai, can the Holy Quran be recited without wudu?
Yes, the Holy Quran can be recited without wudu. But, respectfully, another question is very much important and interlinked. Can the Holy Quran be touched without wudu?
No, it cannot. It is haram to touch the Holy Quran without being in the state of wudu. We need to understand this.
MashaAllah. Respectfully of Madani Channel, hope we must have increased our knowledge. We learnt about the recitation of the Holy Quran and few masail. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to act upon. Today we are talking about the great Sahabi Rasul, Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala and his biography. Wasim Wasbi, when we talk about the ibadah, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Allahu Akbar. This is something really, really, really amazing. And when I was reading, I was really shocked to read that how many rak'at he would recite daily. Allahu Akbar, to be honest with you. This piece of information was really amazing for me. And I thought, subhanAllah, what kind of personalities they have graced this face of earth. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu's worship, it has been mentioned, Abu Sa'id states that he would offer 12,000 rak'at of nafil salah daily.
SubhanAllah.
Allahu Akbar. 12,000.
SubhanAllah. That's again his saintly miracle that Allah allows him, indeed. Mm-hmm. And there's barakah in time for such individuals where they can perform so much nawafil. And
at the same time, fulfill the rights of the people.
SubhanAllah.
To carry out all their chores, daily works, whatever they have to do, the works and other things.
SubhanAllah. This is one form of saintly miracle as well, no that doubt. Allah...
blessed Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu
anhu. SubhanAllah. Indeed.
But
indeed.
Could you please mention how had he divided his Allah time and what were the places he had dedicated for worship? And that's how he, mashallah, used to.
And through this narration as well, again, when we cover that how he divided his parts of night, this also is like a guiding principle for us as well, that how shall we also bring up our families and how should our environment within our homes should be. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he would split his night into three parts.
Yeah.
In the first part of the night, he would stand up for prayer. Second night, his honorable wife radiallahu anha would stand up for prayer.
Subhanallah. Whole family.
In the third part of the night, it would be his honorable son who would stand up for prayer. Allah. Imagine, so throughout the night, the entire house is engaged in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Throughout the night, the barakah and blessings would be descended on that house.
Subhanallah. But again, imagine, Rizwan, we're talking about the love of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. We're talking about how simple he was, reminding him of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But at the same time, how he brought up his household. And what a beautiful environment he had created within his home. This is again something that we need to understand as well, that at the same time as we are fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are important and fundamental upon us, necessary for us to do so, at the same time we can't forget and neglect our own household.
Sure.
And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, imagine if his son is also worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the last part of the night, that must be by the blessings of the tarbiyah, the bringing up of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. So we should also make sure that following the footsteps of Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, we should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fulfill the fara'id, but at the same time, we should also create such environment within our homes where everyone is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it reflects a true Islamic environment within our homes. Very, very important for us.
Rasimah, it is mentioned that during the days of prosperity, right? Radiallahu anhu had appointed four places around his home for worship.
SubhanAllah.
Dedicated.
SubhanAllah.
One in the basement.
SubhanAllah.
The second in his residential home. The third in his own special room.
SubhanAllah.
And then fourth near the door of the home.
SubhanAllah.
When
SubhanAllah.
Coming and going, radiallahu anhu would offer abundant nafil salah in these places.
SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah.
What kind of people they were, Allah.
So in other words, he was making his entire home, every corner of his home, a witness for him worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
One more thing we learned that, which Amir of Ahlul Sunnah has also given us a mindset that we should have a musalla,
Masjid al-Bayt.
Home, right? Where we should worship, or dedicate a room or a place where we should worship. And this is what we learned from the life of Sahaba Ikram, Ali ibn Ridwan.
Indeed.
A dedicated place in the basement, and then in his special room, and then near the door, subhanAllah.
Their entire house was dedicated for this.
Dedicated, but unfortunately we make mansions, people have got bungalows, they've got like big houses, right? But unfortunately they have got each and every facility to enjoy life, but unfortunately you would not see a dedicated room for salah.
Allah.
There are mashallah, illa mashallah, exception cases are there, and I've seen the brothers, mashallah, those they have dedicated room and they have beautifully made them, mashallah. It looks like that a person when he enters, that this is a place of worship, they have made their dedicated room for Masjid al-Bayt and they offer salah. But this is what we can also learn,
indeed,
isn't it?
Indeed, indeed. We should all have such places in our homes. Just imagine the place where the worship of Allah is performed. How many blessings would be showered upon those places?
Definitely. And those viewers, they are watching right now, inshallah, they should make intention. If you have been blessed with a spacious house, dedicate one place for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following the way of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala. This is one of the reasons we are doing these programs,
indeed,
isn't it?
Indeed.
So we can learn something from the seed of Sahaba Kiram, and then we can implement. It's not just coming, sitting, and then going, no. We need to take some lesson and then start implementing. You were saying, bye.
Subhanallah. Again, we're talking about the worship of Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala, subhanallah, his passion to fast, to keep fast for Allah, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that was also amazing. It stated that he radiallahu anhu would keep three fasts at the beginning of every month.
Subhanallah.
This was his practice. And in case he was unable to do so for any reason, he would do so towards the last 3 days of the month.
Subhanallah.
This was his practice. You see, again, we're not talking about fard fasts. We're talking about the nafil fasts.
Before we talked about nafil salah.
Indeed.
He used to offer.
Yes, we talked about nafil salah. Now we're talking about nafil fasts. Yeah. And he would fast for 3 days in the beginning of every month. And in case for some reason he couldn't, he would make up for it towards the end of the month. This is his practice. And nowadays is one way we see many parts of the world, Ramadan comes during the hot weather.
Gee.
However, it's quite easy for us because we have all the facilities. We have, cooling down facilities. We know at the time of iftar, we will have food for us.
SubhanAllah, respect you, Yusuf Madinshan. This is the biography of a great Sahabi Rasul, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. And let's include the final segments in our program, and that is today's hadith. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiyallahu anhum.
Now regarding the honorable companions, radwanallahi alayhim ajma'in, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained, do not speak ill of my companions. Because if any of you were to give charity the amount of gold equivalent to the whole of Mount Uhud, it would not be equivalent to a single mud or half a mud given by any of them. Now what's the explanation of this hadith? Is that if a companion gave a small amount of barley in charity, whilst a ghouth, qutb, or any ordinary Muslim gave a mountain's worth of gold, the latter were not near the level of acceptance and closeness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same is true regarding fasting, salah, and all other acts of worship. When salah in Masjid al-Nabawi is equivalent to 50,000 offered salah elsewhere, what words could adequately explain the rank of the companions who physically saw the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and spent time in his company? What can be said of the amazing acts of worship? Now the rank of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's companions is really, really high. This hadith also teaches us to mention the honorable companions with nothing but good. They are never to be spoken about with belittling or disrespectful terms, not even in the slightest. These are specific individuals Allah chose to accompany His beloved. Now imagine this, just as an example, when a merciful father does not let his son stay in the company of bad people, then how could our merciful Lord, Azza wa Jal, like for His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to stay in such company? The companions' superiority is founded on the fact that they accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and lived in the era of divine revelation. If anyone from our lives for 1,000 years tries to spend his entire time obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and refraining from disobedience such that we become the greatest worshipper of our era, even then, dear viewers of Madani Channel, even then, all of this worship will not match a single moment spent in the companionship of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The lesson that we learn here is that whenever we speak about the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, always with respect. Never use disrespectful terms. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiyallahu anhum.
Respected viewers of Madani Channel, we were listening a beautiful hadith of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallam. We are today talking about Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala and a biography, the Sina. Masih Abbas, time is very short, probably a couple of minutes are there for us. Now, would you please mention the departing from this mortal world of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala?
Rizwan bhai, mashallah, we've tried to cover the personality of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and again, we learn many beautiful lessons, life-changing lessons from his seerah. Just to conclude very quickly, he radiallahu anhu, his love for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you spoke about that. And it was also to a level where he would also talk about the beauty of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, to others. He also spread the love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, to others. He loved the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, himself, and he would also spread that love amongst the others. Mm-hmm. In other words, he would show that he's a true believer, signifying the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that what you love for yourself, you love for your brother as well. Then how beautifully he came to the Prophet والسلام, and requested for him to make dua for his mother, for her embracing of Islam. That's how much he loved his mother. And then he believed in the Prophet والسلام, as well, that his dua will be accepted. And when Prophet والسلام, made dua, his mother embraced Islam and he ran back home. He knew that the dua of the Prophet would be accepted. So we come to know the beliefs of the Sahaba, the aqidah they had, the love they had, and what great personality Allah Almighty blessed us with in the form of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and the shining star of companionship of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He departed at the age of 78 in 59 Hijra, it stated, in Madinatul Munawwara, and he radiallahu anhu was buried in Jannatul Baqi. Whenever we visit, whenever Allah blesses us with this opportunity, we should go to Jannatul Baqi and make dua for Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu as well. Mm-hmm. And we just pray to Allah Almighty that may Allah Almighty shower millions of uncountable mercies upon Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and forgive us all without accountability for his sake.
Allahumma ameen, bijahin nabil ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower countless blessings upon the shrine of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. And respect viewers, that's all for today, inshallah. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiyallahu anhum. Lives of the companions.